Welcome to the Positively Midlife podcast. We are college friends, now in our 50s, exploring midlife together. Join us on this journey filled with honest discussion on the topics and challenges that are important to women at midlife. Welcome to the Midsters podcast. We are college friends, now in our 50s, exploring the endless possibilities for women at midlife. Welcome back to the Midsters podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ellen, and Tish and I are so excited to be back with you. The topic we're going to talk about tonight is running an Airbnb or a short-term rental business at midlife. It's something a lot of women may be thinking about, and it can be a path to some financial freedom, and it's really cool to be part of a community of worldwide hosts. I think you guys know that I'm an Airbnb host, and I'll share a little bit of my experience with creating and running an Airbnb, but we're really going to be talking to one of our amazing friends and an incredibly successful Airbnb host who is my inspiration for starting my Airbnb.
So, full disclosure here, Kristen is one of our amazing college friends that we always talk about, you know, part of our tribe. So we are so lucky to have so many accomplished friends. Kristen is this amazing designer, self-proclaimed Airbnb hustler, and she's actually considered a super host, which is a big deal in the Airbnb market, from Burlington, Vermont. So her Burlington Airbnb is a designer downtown digs, as they refer to it. It is full of her amazing sense of style. And she is also founder of Able and Lovely, which is a lifestyle brand. And she is a designer at Burlington Furniture. So we're going to post pictures of her amazing Airbnb unit on our Facebook page. So be sure to tune in to the Midsters Podcast Facebook page to see some of her unit, because it is amazing. So Kristen, we just want to say welcome.
Welcome.
And thank you so much for joining us. And we're so happy to have you here on our podcast today.
Oh my God, that intro is too much. I mean, it's like, these guys are like Fitz or Trish. Her last name is...
They call me Fitz from college. Everything. They all call me Fitz. So it's okay. You can go with it.
I'm already blowing it on your podcast. So I'm really sorry. I just blew it. But we were roommates, and like, I know her like a sister, and I know, you know, Ellen, I love her like a sister. And so that intro was like very humbling, and I almost cried. So fast forward, I'm really sorry, but thank you for that wonderful intro.
Well, we are so happy to have you here. And I say you live up to every bit of that intro, Kristen.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we have a lot of great stuff to talk about tonight. But you know, we always start with our obsessions. And Tish, I'm going to kick it over to you.
Okay. So my obsession this week is think dirty.
Woo! So,
I know.
Tell us more. Right?
You think it's going to be better than it is. Think Dirty is actually an app that you can put on your phone, and you can find out what products that you are using that are considered clean. Are they completely clean? Are they partially clean? Are they dirty? And you can also request that they do some research and to find out, you know, which products you're using, whether you're putting stuff in your body or on your skin, even stuff for pets. So it's kind of a neat way to really kind of look at what you're using. So tonight I just like grabbed, I love using this Burt's Bees on my lips. Mm-hmm. And I thought, let me see, is that a clean product? I mean, I think it's supposed to be, because they always, you know, and sure enough, I scanned my little barcode on it and it came up clean. So I was feeling a little bit better about using my lip gloss tonight. So
there you go.
Dirty.
Okay. We'll put that in the show notes for sure. And I think I'll check that out myself.
What about you, Al? What's your obsession this week?
Well, I am obsessed with sea glass, and I recently came to New England, and I have a friend, Kimberly, who's always teasing me on Facebook with these beautiful hauls. I'm going to use the word haul of sea glass. I have my sad little West Coast few pieces. You know, she would have just the most amazing blues and greens and light blues. And I must have hit it right because I filled up an entire jar with sea glass that I collected in just a few days. So I'll share a photo of it. But, you know, collecting sea glass has always been a great goal kind of for me. I've tried it, but I've never really gotten much. So I'd have to say I'm just obsessed with sea glass this week.
Well, I know I've told you before that I love when I go to the beach or go somewhere and I start collecting things, that I love to put them in little containers that I can mark when I got them, whether it's sand, whether it's shells. I usually go for like one color shell at a time. And then I have jars that I remember that trip from. So I'm going to challenge you, and maybe we can put some links, you know, for Amazon on really great containers where you can keep these so you can kind of remember that trip from.
I think that's a great idea. I've always loved how crafty you are. All right. Well, let's get to it because this is a really interesting topic. And I know that many of us at midlife have more flexibility and we could leverage some space that we may have, or we may need some extra cash too, right? We have all of these things happening. And so women are leading the way as Airbnb hosts. I think almost 60% of the hosts worldwide are women. So I just want to say shout out to women for really being a big part of this industry and for making it successful. For me, I started an Airbnb when one of my kids went off to college and I had an empty in-law unit. So I think there's many different ways that you can do this. Some people have a whole unit. Some people rent out a room. Some people leave their house, their home, and go somewhere else and rent it. So I think we'll hear a lot of different ways that you can take advantage of doing this short-term rental type of gig. So
I think what I love about how we're going to approach this tonight too is, Ellen, yours is very different from Kristen's. Yours is part of your home. And so we're going to really look forward to how you do it, how it works for you. But Kristen, I want to hear about your journey from starting your Airbnb to becoming a super host and what that means. And because you are Airbnb full year, all year long.
Yeah, I am now a full year Airbnb all day long. It took me, I think, almost like 2 years to be that. And it was gradual, but it was intentional. And so, you know, I was divorced and I was leaving the suburbs and I wanted to get into the city. I was a designer. I'm a collector. And I have been always interested in real estate. I was a broker too. And when we moved to Vermont, it was great. And when we got divorced, I was like, I wanted to be closer to the city. I wanted to, wherever I lived, I wanted to be able to walk to town to get a coffee or be close to a medical center or a university. I always like university towns because you have people there. And we just happened to be in Burlington, Vermont, close to the lake in the Adirondacks. So it was a win-win-win. And so I wanted to get out of the country and get closer to a coffee shop. And so I bought, because I did not have a lot of means, a one-bedroom apartment right in the heart of downtown. And I loved it. I could walk everywhere. I could do everything. And it was just really great. But I really did want a little bit more space because I do have three kids. And so I decided to, well, you know what? You know, everything in here is part of my collections and everything that I've been purchasing since the time I was 26 years old. So it's a very eclectic space. And I thought it would be a very good venue for Airbnb, which was super trendy and everyone was doing it. I was like, why couldn't I do that? I'm a realtor, you know, I'm a designer, I'm a collector. It's a different kind of interior than the other interiors for a one bedroom, right? So I think or at least I thought I had a leg up. And so I tried it. I glamped, didn't like glamping. I don't have a minivan. I have, you know, a Mini Cooper. I think I mentioned that to you before the other night. I stayed at some friends' houses and people liked my space, you know, but because if you're not a super host, if you're not on the algorithm of Airbnb, it's tough. So you need reviews. Reviews are really super important. And once you start getting reviews, you start getting people interested in your space and they'll start, you'll start, you know, your calendar will start to fill up. And so it just takes a little bit of time. And that's what happened to me. So I got lucky. And, you know, within a year, I think I was a super host, but I think our co-host, who's the co-host of this podcast, was like a super host way before me. So she is a super place too.
Well, what I really liked about this story, Kristen, is you were going through a big change in your life, going through a divorce. And so this initially was your transition living place.
Correct.
And you decided to take that and not just get rid of it and move on, but you were going to move on with the idea that this was going to become a big part of your future plans or a source of income for you.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I loved how you took up this, you went from being in a relationship, this was your transition space, and though it was small and you knew you needed more space than this, but that this was your stepping stone in between, but it became your building block. I love that.
It really was an opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity for, you know, I had a full-time job, but it was an opportunity for a passive income, which I desperately needed. And it was a risk, but it was the risk in my area that I felt comfortable with, design, real estate, and, you know, showing somebody an interior that they don't necessarily live with every single day. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I don't know if they're going to like it or not, but I'm thinking, fingers crossed, they will. And they have. So it was
the other thing that I'm hearing is that you were very specific on the type of area you wanted to be in. You wanted to be in a active, happening, urban area. So that was big for you because it also matched with your sense of style. So,
but not only that, necessary, because people like want to come to a town, but they want to go out to dinner. They want to be able to go to the mountains or the lake. Mm-hmm. They want to be around culture. They want theater. They want a dining. They want IPA. So we had everything there. And I just wanted to be in a walking distance so they could park their car and walk. And that is the reasons why I call it downtown designer deck.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of people do you draw as your guest?
So for me, I draw people who are like honeymooners. I draw people who are anniversary people, kids, the parents who are like looking for colleges because we're a college town. So it's just really couples and they just really want to like get out of Dodge and they want a different type of environment. So my people are from New York, Burlington, Chicago, they're from Minneapolis. I mean, they're from all over, but they just want a different experience. And I want them to have an experience in my interior to be different than the average one bedroom Airbnb that they can get down the street.
And I've seen it.
Ellen,
it's true.
Mm-hmm. So Ellen, your experience was a little bit different, because you're in a very different type of area and neighborhood. So how did you make your Airbnb happen?
Well, good question, Fitz. First of all, Kristen came out and she checked it out and she called it my little money maker. So she inspired me completely to feel like I had the bones there. I just gave myself a budget to kind of update it and put in those things you need, like the keypads and a few different things. But
let me ask you, what were you using the space for before you transitioned it?
My oldest son was living down there. It has a separate entrance, but you can also get to it through our house. And when he went away to college, rather than let one of my other boys move down to this very kind of independent in-law unit, what I did was I was like, hey, I'm staring at three boys going off to college soon. I'm going to make some money from it. So what I had done when he was in college was during the summers and at holidays, I didn't rent it. So my availability was a little bit different than Kristen's. I had big chunks, maybe almost half of the year that I wasn't renting it out as an Airbnb, but I'm in the suburbs, if you could call it that. I'm in Marin, and it's pretty rural here, but I'm in a development. And I get a lot of couples, people coming up out of San Francisco, a lot of people coming to weddings. There are probably no hotels within 10 miles of me. I also get a lot of grandparents who come to town to visit their kids and their grandchildren, but they want their own space because mine's a studio. I mean, it's just perfect for two people. And then we have a Zen center, Spirit Rock. It's one of the biggest meditation places, I think, on the West Coast. And a lot of people come for 2, 3, or 4 day retreats, and I'm pretty close to that. So there was a lot more interest in my unit than I ever thought. I was thinking, well, sure, you know, I'll see how it goes. And I was as busy as I wanted to be.
And that's surprised, funny, right, Ellen?
Yeah. And surprised, and very surprised. And I have to just say, I was surprised at how easy the platforms, not just Airbnb, but VRBO, they really make it great to be a host. It was a lot easier than I thought. How about you, Kristen? Were you surprised by that?
I am so surprised by, I love Airbnb. Airbnb, I love the owner. I love the CEO. I love how interactive he is. And so I like the platform better than VRBO, but VRBO is good too. But yeah, I find it easier to interact on a platform level with Airbnb, but VRBO is good too. And you link calendars, so that's good. So when somebody
Kristen,
books,
can you see, can you explain a little
Airbnb,
bit more what you mean
they'll
by
be
that?
Able to see if there's a VRBO reservation. And I can tell you, once in a while, there's a glitch in the systems. And so you'll get a double booking. And so that's not good because you have to like tell the other person it's been a double booking and whoever booked first gets pushed off. So that's never pleasant. And that's happened maybe 2 times out of the time, but and they know that and they're working on that and they really need to make sure that doesn't happen again. But so that's the, you know, the one thing about having two platforms, it's not always perfect, but 99.8% it is.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic that you can leverage both sites and actually merge those schedules so people can see availability almost
exactly
perfectly over two different platforms that are not related at all. So that to me is amazing that you don't have to pick one or the other or try to
exactly
figure out where stuff is booked. So I think that is absolutely great. Ellen, one of the things I know that you've mentioned before in terms of your type of guests that you end up bringing into your units is you said that a lot of women like mm-hmm to book with you because you're a woman host. Is
I think true? So.
Yeah.
I do. I think so. And I think most of my reviews are for women. It's funny. I think I have 75% women and 25%, you know, men and couples. So I think that, you know, I really hit a sweet spot. It's a studio and it's really just perfect for one person. And maybe the way it looks is a little more feminine because I think it's my style.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Kristen. It's like
we're going to show pictures of Ellen's as well because it is. It's just bright and oranges and blues. And yeah, it's just beautiful. But what was the other type of person that would come in for a little long extended times?
Yeah, I don't think I said this when I talked about the kind of people, but I've had a number of guests who are doing remodels and they're local. They might be from my town or for another town. And either they need 3 weeks, 6 weeks, a couple months even. And so that's been a kind of customer I've had that I've really enjoyed. You know, I've enjoyed meeting them and kind of getting to know them because they've been here for an extended period. And unlike Kristen, mine is obviously an in-law unit, so it's attached to my house. And so I almost always meet them at some point, whether it's like a wave or a, you know, a question about the, where they're parking the car or something. So the longer term folks, it's been nice, you know, to get to know. folks there.
That's fantastic. So tell me, have either of you, let's start with you, Kristen. Have you ever had like a crazy or bad experience with guests?
You know, of course. Of course. I mean, I think every host has had, you know, a bad experience. So yeah. I live in Vermont. We have these old buildings. I'm in an old turn of the century building and we have to deal with bats, right? And so
wait a minute.
We have a bat like issue.
The bats that fly
Burlington,
around
in Vermont. And we don't want people who travel here, who are from Vermont, who want to come back. They always, you know, they understand the bat issue. But if you're not from Vermont and you don't understand, like, bats are always going to come in when it's super hot and they're going to come through the chimney. They're going to come through an old crack. They're going to come through. If you crack a window, they're going to come right in when it's super hot because they want to get out of the heat. They're going to be in your house. And so I've had my Airbnb maybe three summers. This is my third summer, maybe my fourth summer. Every single summer, I haven't had it this year yet, but it is August and we are having a heat wave. I haven't got a bat call. But every single year bats come in because somebody leaves the door open, somebody opens up a window, whatever, bats come in and there's like three or four bats and I get a call and I'm like, they're like, oh my God, we have bats. I have a great management team. They go in, they retrieve them, they release them because they're a scarcity right now. And there's a disease on their nose and we have to make sure that we don't kill them. They're not dangerous. And what they do is they take care of all the insects in our environment. And we really need the bats. And they're imperative to how, you know, our summers are going to prevail. And so we have to be very careful of our bats. I know they're scary. They're intrusive. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, they come flying down with their wide wings. But you know what? We're going to take care of them. But it is part of our climate. It's part of our where we are. And we are having sometimes when it goes over 90, like the bats will like try to flee anywhere to get inside to a cooler climate. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're ending up inside and finding their way through an old building, because the newer buildings, the way they are structured, it's much more difficult. The older buildings, the old brick buildings, they can get in there through a chimney and bam, they're in your living room. Your bedroom, and they're loud. And so that really is, I think, you know, thank you for bringing that up, because I think I have to really put it out there on my welcome to Burlington. If it's in the summer months, you might find a bat. Let me know and I'll get our bat control on it. Please don't kill them, and we need them, and we'll get them out, and I'll give you another night, you know, free, you know, another time or something. Right. I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. If they want to leave, they can leave, but I'm going to do everything to make them feel safe and, you know, cared maybe for. They can enjoy a night another time.
Right.
So, that's my worst case scenario.
So in other words, Kristen, you're going to have to install a bat phone. Or not.
Or not. Well, no, I don't.
I know, but it's bad.
That's funny.
It's bats. It's my worst scenario bats.
I don't have bats here. We don't. I mean, we do, but that hasn't been an issue. But we have a lot of coyotes and they can sound really close and really scary. But Tish knows this because she stayed in my Airbnb. My neighbors have chickens and roosters. So in my welcome packet, it says, you know, there are chickens next door and there is a rooster that they keep cooped as long as they can. But those are kind of the animals out my way, aside from deer and whatever else is here. But
I will say, Ellen, your neighbors are very considerate because they do not let them out of the coop until like 9-10 o'clock in the morning.
I know. It's great. So, and I enjoy the little sound of the clucking. And most people like it. But I've only had one, if I could say, bad experience where someone showed up. I have a no dog, no kid unit because it's not suitable for either of those. And my guest showed up with her little dog saying that her dog sitter canceled at the last minute. The guest didn't contact me in advance. And I think part of it was I was counting on the income from her 4 or 5 day stay. And I was just, it was right there. And I didn't know what to do to say like, no, you can't stay here. At this point, it was dark and all of that. And so all weekend long, my little dog upstairs went crazy because she knew there was a dog downstairs. And when the unit was cleaned, the woman's perfect little dog had peed on bath mats and throw rugs and really left a mess down there. So I have to say that was, you know, one of the things you really kind of learn what, why you've made some decisions, why you have certain rules in your unit and what's good for you or not good for you. And I would have told the woman now, a couple years, 4 years into it, whatever it is, that I wouldn't let her stay due to that. So I don't know, Kristen, if you've had anything like that happen.
So just because I have a full-time job and this was my kind of like my passive income, I had to eliminate so many issues or problems that could come up. So I said no dogs because I can't clean like messes and all that stuff. I was doing my own cleaning. And I also had to say like no children because I have so many artifacts on the wall, right? And so kids would be touching or whatever. And I don't want anyone to get hurt or injured or damage anything that I had. So I was just trying to be as like, okay, how do I do this? No dogs, no animals, and no children under a certain age, just because I don't think I would be able to maintain it. I was just testing it out, right? And it's a one bedroom. And so it kind of worked out that way. And people respected it and they could understand it. And they kind of like, they like that. It's a very, you know, eclectic apartment. And so it's worked out. And I still to this day have no dogs and no young children. Mm-hmm. Just because they're going to be curious. I have 3 kids of my own. They're going to touch and whatever, everything. And I would just hate to have them get hurt.
I think too, what I've heard both of you kind of saying is you created places that are unique and special. So it's not just a generic place to stay. If somebody wanted generic, they would just go to a hotel.
For sure.
You're creating that experience, that mood, that ambiance. For you, Kristen, there's a lot of antiques and just uniqueness about it. And Ellen, yours is, you know, the private entrance and just the bright and airy California feel to it. Mm-hmm. So if you were giving advice to somebody about setting one up, make it special.
Make it different than anybody else in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody sells soap. Everybody has candles. Everybody has whatever. Figure out a way to separate you from the vast majority and make it authentic because they want an authentic experience. And if you can do that, I think you're going to be successful.
I would agree with that, Kristen. And I really feel also that I have great service. And you mentioned that too. If there's an issue, you're right on it. I know Kristen leaves a gift basket and wine. I do the same thing. And, you know, part of it really is being a host to your hometown, whether it's my little tiny town that I live in here in Northern California or a city. And I think that both Kristen and I have really tried to have great customer service as a differentiator as well.
And so communication, for sure. If it's a first timer, they can be a little bit nervous and they don't understand the keypad or whatever, or they do. And I mean, you have to be there to pick up their phone call when they can't get in, right? So you need your phone there or you need a management team to pick up that call. And if you can communicate with them right away and set their anxiety down and it's going to be okay. It's just a keypad. You can get in. Don't worry about it. And they know that you're there to walk them through that. It's going to be great. Those are first timers. I do think they need a little bit more hand holding. I mean, when I went to France, like, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, I needed that hand holding
it made me feel like, oh, okay, this is going to be okay. I've never had an Airbnb before and I'm in France and you're able to help me walk through that door and walk through the experience. And so if you can pick up that call when they're like, you know, fumbling, whether or not they have their glasses or they don't eat, you know, whatever, they don't have the language, whatever it is. If you can help them through that period of whatever, of that anxiety that they're feeling, they're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
So you have a unique place. You have amazing customer service. So this brings you to a level with Airbnb to be this super host. What does that mean for your business? How does that change your business?
I think that super hosts actually are presented first on the platform. And I'd have to say that's the first thing. So when someone's looking and you're a super host, their algorithm, it presents you first. I think the second thing is when I'm looking to stay in an Airbnb, I like to stay with super hosts because I know they have the best rating, right? So it kind of works on really from both ends. So if I'm looking to stay, I'm looking for a super host. And I think those are the things that I think it means. Kristen, anything else on that one?
So I would just, you know, ditto everything Ellen just said, because I would only look for a superhost. Superhost has, they have the best ratings. And if they don't meet those ratings quarterly, they're not a superhost. So it's not like a yearly, oh, like you made superhost for the year. I think it is, and I may be wrong, quarterly or biannually, I'm not quite sure. But I mean, one time I got nixed because I was a newbie and I double booked. And I was a super host and then I lost and I wasn't a super host and I had to gain it again because I really didn't like take the time to really understand. And you cannot really, when somebody books, you can't cancel on them.
Yeah.
And I think I canceled on them for some reason. Maybe it was and I don't know what it was, but I canceled on them and I didn't know that. And I lost my rating.
No,
so I'll never
true.
Do that again.
It's
so I know we're kind of running short on time,
but I
do want to talk about one more thing, Kristen, because I know this was like really passionate for you about this. How has owning an Airbnb changed your future?
Oh, my God. I mean, that passive income, that jump, that leap for me to buy an apartment and then live there and then maybe say, oh, maybe I could turn it into income producing property and I could be an Airbnb-er and I could live someplace else has changed my life. It has changed my life full circle. You know, we were talking about this the other night. I mean, when you're lucky and then you've done all the work and all of a sudden something presents itself, which the Airbnb did present it. I was a designer. I know real estate. I'm a collector, so I could have all that. I could test it out and I tested it out and I went to my friend's house and I went to my Mini Cooper and it worked. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I have a really good job as a designer and my Airbnb, I no longer have to clean by myself. I have a management team and it has changed my life.
I love that. It's so inspirational that, you know, here's two stories of two women, different types of spaces, but that have made this part of their ongoing income, their future. And it just says that this is so possible. And it's not that difficult. Yes, it's work. Everything's always work.
Right.
But that it's really possible. And Kristen, you've gone on to mentor many women and other people, not just women, but you've gone on to mentor people into, you know, having their own units. What would be your one piece of advice that you would give other midsters about kind of moving forward if they're considering this?
And let me ask you a question, moving forward, like with an Airbnb or just moving forward into something else?
An Airbnb. Yeah.
Oh, location.
Location.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just because you don't want to be in the middle of nowhere. I mean, people need to they're coming to Vermont and I have, you know, they can walk, they can park their car and walk everywhere. They have culture, they have lake, They have access to, you know, UVM Medical. They have access to everything. So just be careful of where you are. I mean, you could be in Hawaii and you have the, you know, whatever. But wherever you go, if you're in the middle of nowhere, I don't know how many people you're going to get unless you really want to like detach from the world for 7 months or 6 months. But I mean, I think location, people want to wake up and walk down the street and get a cup of coffee or get an IPA or get a really great burrito or something. And so, or where Ellen lives, go hike in the woods. And she is like, get a bicycle. It's like where like
mountain biking.
What is it?
Mountain biking.
Mountain biking was invented.
That's right. That's right. My town. But I agree with you, Kristen. I think the one thing I would say to a midster is research it and try it like Kristen did. It wasn't, you don't have to put in a huge outlay of cash a lot of times. I see and know people who rent rooms or they're going away for 2 weeks and they rent their place while they're gone. Or they know that it's a popular week where there's the Falmouth foot race on the Cape and they rent their place out and they go stay totally with some other friends. So anyway, that's my point on it.
So we would love to hear from our listeners if you've had successful experiences doing Airbnb or, you know, renting out. We'd love to hear the different stories that you have, maybe even questions that you have for either Kristen and Alan. So let us know. Again, go to our The Midsters Facebook page, The Midsters Podcast Facebook page. We're going to post some pictures so you can see their units and stuff and drop some questions if you have them.
And I'd just like to say thanks to Kristen Baker for being here. And again, she's been my inspiration for starting this. So thank you, Kristen.
I love you guys.
Till next week.
Till next time, Midsters.
The Midsters Podcast will drop every Wednesday. Become part of our tribe, the Midsters Tribe. Like and follow us, and please invite your friends. Until next time, have a great week. The Positively Midlife Podcast will drop every Wednesday. Become part of our tribe of women excited to thrive in midlife. Like, subscribe, and follow us wherever you listen, and invite your friends along. Until next time, have a great week.